Harvey Weinstein's fortunes changed because of an article that was published in the New York Times in October 2017. Not coincidentally, perhaps, just as Congress was working on what became the TCJA. The headline, you can see on the slide, was fairly attention-grabbing. And the article was consequential because it did affect the tax law. It affected the tax law because as Congress was drafting the 2017 Act and this issue of non-disclosure agreements received so much publicity, Congress reacted to the public outrage that followed by enacting in the 2017 tax legislation an amendment to Section 162, and that's 162Q, which you can see on your screen. The provision says that no deduction will be allowed for any settlement or payment related to sexual harassment or sexual abuse if the settlement or payment is subject to an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, or attorney's fees related to such settlement or payment. You can now see the problem raised by the hypothetical that I started with. The language raises an important question. Does the denial of what would otherwise be a garden variety 162 deduction apply not just to the perpetrator, but also to the victim? This just reminds you of what the hypothetical was. Based on the language of the statute, that's an open question, which you may say, gee, that's unduly generous. It's not even an open question. The answer is pretty clearly, yeah, it applies to everybody. And yet, in February of 2019, the IRS issued an FAQ, a frequently asked question, that provided the following question and answer. The question was precisely the question that I have raised. Does 162 preclude me from deducting my attorney's fees related to the settlement of my sexual harassment claim if the settlement is subject to an NDA? And the IRS provided a very generous answer. No, 162Q doesn't apply. Recipients of payments related to sexual harassment or abuse whose settlement payment is to an NDA are not precluded by Section 162Q from deducting the attorney's fees related to the settlement if otherwise deductible. So that leaves me with a question. What do you do? What do I do if I'm advising this client? I have the FAQ. It is written guidance. It appears on the IRS website, and it was intended for my guidance. It posed a question, and it answered it. Can I rely on it? Do I tell my client that it's fine? Go ahead and deduct the payment. There's a more recent example that may be closer to home for some of you, and that involves recent guidance and FAQs involving how the partnership determine a partner's capital tax capital account and providing a safe harbor. And that appears in instructions to forms. Like FAQs, instructions to forms are informal guidance. More about that later. So can you rely on it? And if you do rely on it for purposes of taking a return decision, are you protected from penalties? And the answer is the IRS's current position is no. You cannot rely on it either for taking a decision on the return or for penalty protection. And that, of course, raises a question of is that likely to happen? Well, it has happened. And before we get to that, let me just go through and, so that everybody's on the same page, provide a short primer on the hierarchy of IRS guidance. As you see on the slide, the IRS has issued several kinds of guidance, as I'm sure most of you know, regs, proposed regs, revenue rulings, PLRs, and other publications such as FAQs, instructions to form, explanations on the IRS website, which is irs.gov, and tweets. And you can, if you want a more detailed and excellent explanation of this, your materials have cites to other authority. I'm not going to go through that. But the problem here is that, as I said earlier, courts agree with the IRS's precision on taxpayers' ability to rely on informal, that is, sub-regulatory, non-Internal Revenue Bulletin published guidance. Indeed, courts have said, often made statements like what you see on the slide, that it is hornbook law that informal publications all the way up to revenue rulings are simply guides to taxpayers, and a taxpayer relies on them at his peril. The next slide shows you the hierarchy of guidance, and this is from a graph by the GAO, the General Accounting Office, and you can see that revenue, obviously the code is at the top, and then the regs, but the most numerous source of guidance is all the way at the bottom of the pyramid, and that, the most numerous source of guidance, is what we're talking about here. So...